أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. I would like to begin by first of all acknowledging the efforts of the brothers who have organized this program and allowed us to remember some of the social duties that we have. The month of Ramadan is a month of taqwa, a month of reminding ourselves about our duties to Allah. And if it was a month where there was no mention of Imam Khomeini, no mention of the struggle of the Palestinians, no mention of Sheikh Zakzaki, no mention of the plight of the Yemenis, then it would indeed be a very limiting experience. So I wanted to thank the brothers who have always been trying to, you know, have a focus on this for all of us. May Allah reward you for your efforts. I wanted to thank all of you for your sacrifice in attending this program. May Allah reward you. I wanted to just take a few moments to give a few points of reflection regarding this topic of injustice and justice, and then inshallah mention some words of musibat regarding the occasion that we're commemorating. So when it comes to the word dhulm, a lot of times the translation that's given is oppression. And there's a potential, you know, mistake that we can make when we, because when you think about oppression, we think about oppressing somebody else, taking somebody else's rights, or not observing somebody else's rights. But as you heard from Brother Fayaz's presentation, from the ayat in the Quran, dhulm has a very wide meaning. And when we're talking about being an enemy to dhulm, an enemy to the dhalim, we have to understand what is that dhalim and who is that dhalim. There was once a man who comes to our fifth imam, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he tells him, I heard something that you're saying and I want to confirm that this is correct. I'm just paraphrasing. He says, I heard that you have said that for everything there is a had, there is like a limit, there's certain like a rules that have to do with everything, if it be something big or something small. And this is something that Allah has ordained, rules for everything. So the Imam alayhi salam says that yes, indeed, that is the case. Then the man says that he wants to test the Imam. He wants to maybe see if he can, you know, find faults in his knowledge. So he says that, okay, here there's a tablecloth which is spread. Tell me, what is the rules of the tablecloth? So Imam alayhi salam goes on to say that, okay, well, it's that when you open it up, you should thank Allah. When you close it up, you should praise Allah. If there's any extra food, don't just throw it away. You should collect it and do something proper with it, and so on and so forth. So then the man points to a water jug, and he says, what's the rules of the water jug? Allah, you know, as if saying that, you know, how can you say that Allah would have rules for something like that? Yeah, when it comes to salah and hajj and these type of things, there's rules, but this is mundane things that have to do with the world. The Imam alayhi salam goes on to say that even for the water jug, there's rules as well too. You take water from here, you don't take water from there, this thing and that thing, so on and so forth. And so the Imam alayhi salam is explaining the perspective of an abd, which is that everything in creation, because it is from Allah, it emanates from Allah, Allah has expectations about how we're supposed to treat that thing. And whenever we go beyond those expectations, or we go and use things in a way that are contrary to those expectations, that is an act of dhulm. Now, the dhulm, one of the categorizations that's been given by the great ulama is that dhulm is of three types. One of them is dhulm in aqidah, dhulm in belief. One of them is dhulm to the self, and then the other one is dhulm to others. And again, most of the time we are focusing on the last one. But because we're trying to understand how to, you know, we're rallying up the forces to fight against dhulm, we have to understand dhulm in its full capacity. What is dhulm? So quickly I want to mention each one of those three. The first one is dhulm when it comes to aqidah. When somebody has an understanding of things and they believe that this is what truth is, but what they believe is actually fiction, it's not truth, that itself is an act of dhulm. That's something which is very important, because we live in a society where our beliefs are being challenged. If we're not careful, then the elements of secularism can enter into our beliefs. So we have to actively be fighting that. We have to actively be working on ourselves, on our youth, and trying to make them understand what is the Islamic perspective on things. What is the Islamic ideology? Sometimes I get concerned when I see brothers who are very active and very keen on, for example, participating in protests and whatnot. But I see sometimes that when it comes to taking a firm stance with the aqidah of Islam, when it comes to the aqidah of Shia, sometimes after living here for some time, they almost as if they feel that they have to be compromising. It's okay. It's okay if we don't sort of keep that pure line. It's okay if we start to like, it's okay. They can say this, they can say that. No. Islam has very firm lines of belief. This is haqq, this is batil. Compromise and, you know, being weak on the firm principles can be something that in the long term will cause the whole foundation to break. The second area of dhulm is dhulm to oneself. And why is it that, you know, this expression of dhulm to oneself, what does it actually mean? Well, it goes back to the understanding of the creation of human being and what is it that Allah wants from us. Allah tells us that this is your responsibility. This is what you should do. This is what you should stay away from. We know that Allah does not benefit in any way from the good acts that we do. Nor is He harmed in any way when we are sinful. Allah is ghaniyun anil alameen. He's perfectly needless of all of His creation. He always will be as well. The only one who is winning and the only one who is losing based on their actions is the human being themselves. And so whenever somebody does something contrary to the expectations of Allah, whenever they bend the laws or they disregard the laws, the one that they are actually oppressing, the one they are putting in a path other than the path intended for him or her, is themselves. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ Whoever has exceeded the boundaries of Allah, they're doing dhulm to themselves. They were supposed to go in this path, the straight path. Now they're going on this path or this path. They have a limited amount of time. They have to go back and find their way. They're going to be ending up doing dhulm to themselves. There was once a companion of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. This is a tradition that's mentioned in our books. He was one of the good companions of Nabi Isa. He used to travel with him in the lands. And he happened to be short in his stature. So his nickname was Qasir, the one who is short. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, of course, was prophet of Allah. And when he had to travel, sometimes he would do so in a miraculous way. So when he would get to a body of water, sometimes he would travel and walk over the water itself. So in one of these journeys, when Qasir is traveling with Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Nabi Isa gets to the water and says, Bismillah. And with the faith and the certainty that he had, he began to walk on the water. So Qasir sees, you know, his wali, his prophet, say that. So he said, I can do the same thing. He says, Bismillah. And based on the certainty that he has, he begins to walk on the water as well too. Now, after some time, this thought comes to Qasir's mind. And he says that, oh, there's Isa, Ruhullah, and he's walking on the water. And here I am, Qasir, and I'm walking on the water as well too. Bit of like ujub, a bit of like, you know, sort of pride in who he is and what he's doing. And that's the moment that he sinks in the water. And he's gasping for air, he's calling for help for Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He pulls him up, he says, Qasir, tell me, what is it that went through your mind right now? And he says that, well, this is what it is. You know, I thought that, okay, you're there and I'm here, and, you know, this thought came to my mind, and I sort of felt pride because of that. And that's when I sunk. So he says, Nabi Isa alayhi salam tells him something very interesting. He says that at that moment that you thought that, Allah Ta'ala removed His love, special love that He had for you. So repent to Him right now and restore the relationship that you have with Allah. And so Qasir repented, and once again he was able to walk on the water with Nabi Isa alayhi salam. When Nabi Isa alayhi salam corrects him, there's a very important phrase that he uses. He says that, O Qasir, you have put yourself in a place which is not fitting for you. You have done injustice to yourself. Your position was that you are a follower of the wali of the time. You are not somebody who is independent. You're dependent 100% on Allah, and then you're dependent on the wali, your prophet. Don't think that you are something that you are now going to be rivaling with him. This is a huge lesson for us, brothers, that when it comes to dhulm, we're talking about dhulm, that one of the acts of dhulm that can really be devastating is arrogance. Or any other types of akhlaqi type of traits, you know, whether it be jealousy, whether it be ujub, taking pride in one's actions, so many other spiritual diseases. If somebody claims to be a champion against injustice, but they don't have they're not actively working on themselves. They don't have a proper plan. It's not something that they're actually, you know, let's say, dedicating time and efforts, and they're learning from those who have the knowledge about how they can address these issues. Then what's going to happen is that they are people who are saying one thing, but actually they are being afflicted by the same thing, but in another dimension. And the last form of dhulm that is mentioned is the dhulm to other people. And this, of course, comes in a variety of forms. And you could say that because the amount of, let's say, rights that are being taken is because you're doing it to other people, it becomes more, right? It's more than just yourself. Then you could say that in some ways this is the most severe. But one thing I want to mention here is that if we are aiming at trying to fight against dhulm, then we should consider all the different parts of dhulm. If we are looking to have the purity of a society which is free of injustice, then we have to look at all these different forms of dhulm. There was a companion who once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. And he tells him that I wish to be covered in light in the hereafter. What is it that I can do to make sure that I'm with light in the hereafter? So Rasulullah tells him that the way that you can be in light is la tadlim ahadan. Don't do dhulm to anyone. If you don't do dhulm to anyone, that's the way that you can be guaranteed that you have light in the hereafter. In another hadith, Imam Ali Islam says that inna dhulm la dhulumat. Dhulm is actually darknesses upon darknesses. Now, you know how it works, right? If it's bright and you have even one covering of darkness, then it becomes dark, right? If you have more darknesses, then it becomes even more darker. But even one of them is enough to make it dark. So if we're aiming at having a community that is filled with the light of Allah, if we're aiming at having hearts which are filled with the light of Allah, then we need to be aiming at... I think I got the timing. Was that then? I think I got the timing. Okay. Right. So, anyhow, I was saying that when it comes to the aim should be something that's comprehensive. The final remark I'll make before entering the Masayib is that even when it comes to any one of these three categories of dhulm, we have to look at it in a comprehensive way. For example, normally when you talk about oppression to others, we're discussing oppression, for example, of the Palestinians, or oppression of, for example, what's happening, you know, in Yemen and other places, which of course is extremely important. But we should look at it comprehensively. One of the areas of oppression that we have to be very careful about is oppression to fellow Shias. There's one hadith that we have from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. I would like to quote that hadith from you if you can say salawat, please. He's reported that he said, Ya ma'ashara shi'atina. He's speaking to the Shias. O the group of Shias. Ittaqullah. Ihdaru an takunu litilka an-nari hataba. Be careful about being fuel of the fire. Okay, you Shias, don't be the fuel of the fire. Now, how can somebody become وَإِن لَمْ تَكُونُوا بِاللَّهِ كَافِرِينَ فَتَوَقَّوْهَا بِتَوَقِّي ظُلْمْ إِخْوَانِكُمْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The way that you can do so is by protecting yourself from the fire, is by not doing ظُلْم to your fellow brethren, to your fellow Shias. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ مُؤْمِنٍ ظَلَمَ أَخَاهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. There is, whenever a mu'min does dhulm to his fellow mu'min brother, who has the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, then that person is going to be part of the chains, the zanjir, like the chains that are there holding people down in the fire of hell. Right? So this is something which is very important for us to consider. If we look at our community and we say that, okay, well, We want to have a community which is standing against dhulm. Do we have that type of community where even amongst ourselves we don't have that dhulm that's taking place? Do we have the case that where people are supportive of one another, that people forgive one another, that they think the best of one another? Do we have a community where, for example, it's a case that if they see that somebody is trying to sabotage somebody else's efforts, they would speak up and they would say that, no, we have to be a khasam, we have to be an enemy against dhulm. I won't allow you to do dhulm against my fellow brother. Right? This is the type of community that the Ahlul Bayt wanted us to have. Otherwise, we'd be like somebody, again, who is out there protesting while actually we should be protesting against ourselves. So inshallah, this occasion is a reminder, an opportunity for us to remind ourselves of all the different types of dhulm, and in general of having taqwa against these types of dhulm, whether it be dhulm in aqidah, whether it be dhulm against ourselves, or be dhulm against others, in all the comprehensive ways. And it can be an opportunity for us to, inshallah, strive to meet the ideals that the Ahlul Bayt alayhimussalam set out for us. Finally, I'd just like to mention some words on musibah, if you can say salawat, please. We have a hadith reported from Salman al-Farsi, who reports from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who says that, "Alaykum bi Ali ibn Abi Talib." I advise you to stick to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Don't abandon him. فَإِنَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَأَحِبُّوهُ وَكَبِيرُكُمْ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. He is your mawla, he is your master. So you should love him. And he is the most venerable amongst you, so you should follow him. He is the most learned amongst you, so you should honor him. And he is your leader to Jannah, so honor and revere him. When he calls to you, then you should respond to him. And when he commands you, then you should obey him. So you should love him out of love for me. And you should honor him because of my dignity. Whatever I have told you about Ali ibn Abi Talib, it is what my Lord has ordered me to tell you. This is the night where we remember the first of the madlumin, or the highest of the madlumin. There was a man who once came and started complaining about an act of dhulm that had been done to him in the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And when Imam Ali had heard him out, he made a comment to the extent that he said that, if you want to know somebody who truly, truly has been oppressed, then I am the one who has been oppressed. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was the one that Allah had appointed for the guidance of humanity. He was the shining light and the shining lamp of guidance. But yet the people, for the most part, turned away from this and they sought to darken that lamp. Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, on this night, what a night it is if we take our hearts and minds to Kufa, to the house of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. Sallallahu alayka ya Abul Hasan. Sallallahu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'minin. Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib. In the masjid, after Imam Ali alayhi salam was struck by the poisoned sword, the people went and found Ibn Muljim. They brought him to Imam Ali alayhi salam. What are the words that Imam Ali alayhi salam addresses his killer with? He asks him, "Ibn Muljim, have I been unkind to you? Was I a bad imam for you?" Imam Ali alayhi salam is filled with so much mercy and compassion. He is always telling his family, "Take care of the prisoner. Don't bind him up too tight. Make sure you feed him." He tells his son Imam Hassan that, "After me, if I am to be killed, then kill him with one blow. Don't disfigure his body." This is the Imam of justice. Even in his last moments, he is telling people to be just to themselves and to be just to others. Imagine the scene as the children watch what is happening to their father. That sword was not an ordinary sword. It had been dipped in poison for 40 mornings. The poison is seeping through the body of Imam Ali. The cries of Zainab and Umm Kulthum are filling the home. They are going into the streets. Asbagh ibn Ubata, one of the great companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, was outside the door of his home with some of the very special Shia. He is hearing the cries within. He begins to get sadder and sadder. He and his companions are crying. Finally, Imam Hassan comes out and tells them that Imam Ali has asked you to leave. Imam Ali did not want to trouble anyone on account of his own behalf. Some of them leave, but Asbagh doesn't find it within himself to leave the home. After some time, Imam Hassan comes out again. He says, "Didn't I tell you to leave?" He tells him, "How can I leave right now? My master is within. If I could only see him one more time." Finally, he is allowed in to see his Mawla. He says that when I saw him, I didn't know what had become more yellow with poison, whether it was his skin or the bandage that was covering him. I began to weep so much. Imam Ali alayhi salam tells him that don't weep, for I am going to go to Jannah after this. It's only a short time when I am separated from this world. Asbagh tells him that it's not on account of you that I am weeping, but it's on account of myself that I will no longer have you with me, O my Mawla. As the time draws near, Imam Ali alayhi salam gathers his children in front of them. One by one, he begins to tell them his wisdom, his advice, advising them, "Ittaqullah, always have taqwa of Allah. Always remember your salah. Always remember the orphans." He has a special message for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He asks him, "Why are you crying so much?" He tells them, "Oh my father, it is on account of you that we learned what it means to weep," meaning that I've never felt any grief like this in my whole life. He tells him that, "Oh Hussein, anta shahidu hadhihi al-ummah. You are the martyr of this ummah. Oh Allah, make his heart firm." Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is just the beginning of the musa'im. This is the beginning of the tragedies, but what tragedies will befall him in the future. His son Ali Akbar will want to see him. His son Ali Akbar will be so keen to be with his father that one day when he is fighting in the battlefield, he will come back to his father. He will tell him, "Oh my father, the thirst is killing me. The armor is oppressing me. If only there was a way I could get some water." But Imam Hussein will have to tell him, "Oh my son, I don't have any water to give you, but be patient, soon enough you will meet your father, and you will meet my father, and you will meet your grandfather, and he will give you a drink, after which you will never feel thirsty." After that message of hope, Ali Akbar returns to the battlefield. He fights so bravely, but eventually he falls to the ground. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rushes to the side of his son's body. "Ala dunya ba'daka al-afa." This world is no longer worth living in after you. "Ala la'anatullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Wa say'alamun ladhina balamu ayyaman qalibin qalibun." Salawat.